This morning, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 96. Psalm 96, we'll be reading all the verses of this chapter. Psalm 96, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to take your Trinity Psalter once again and turn in the back section to page 896. Page 896. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52. And this morning we'll read together just questions 128 and 129. I'll read the question, we'll respond together with the answer. From page 896, question 128. How do you conclude this prayer? Question 129. What does that little word amen express? Well, this morning we come to the end of a rather long series of sermons. A series on the Word of God as it is summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. The Catechism is one of the most beloved teaching tools in Reformed churches. And for over 400 years, the Catechism has been the backbone of confessional preaching in those churches. In the Catechism, we cover all the basics of the Christian faith. We talked together about the Apostles' Creed, that beautiful, historic, Trinitarian statement of the Christian faith of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We studied the sacraments together, the sacrament of baptism for not only believers, but for their children as well. the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as a means of grace, as a means God uses to encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. We spent some time looking at the Ten Commandments together, our obligation both to God and to our neighbor, and understood the law in the context of grace. We keep the law as a response of gratitude for what God has done for us. And for the last several weeks together, looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we saw the prayer does have a particular structure. It begins with that address to our Father in heaven. There are those two sets of petitions, three petitions each. The first set petitions for God's name and for His kingdom and for His will. And the second petitions for us, that God would provide our bread, that God would provide forgiveness, that God would provide deliverance for us, His people. And now we come to the last section of the prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Children, we sometimes call that last phrase the doxology of the prayer. And that's a good name for it, because doxology means to give God praise for who He is, for His kingdom, for His power, for His glory. The prayer ends bringing praise to God. And Psalm 96 has those same themes in it. Praise to God for His kingdom. Praise to God for His power. Praise to God for His glory. Calling us as God's people to bring Him the praise that He deserves. We praise God for His kingdom. The psalmist says in verse 10, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity." The Lord reigns. He is the ruler over the kingdom. And He is the only ruler. He is the only king. We read in verse 5, "For the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." He is the one and only king of the kingdom. Oh, there may be many pretenders to the kingdom, many things that would tend to make us think that they are rulers or powers, but God alone is the true king. There is nothing that can compare to His majesty, nothing that can compare to His greatness as the king over His kingdom. And that kingdom is not simply one small slice of life. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns, the world is established. God's kingdom is a broad kingdom. God's kingdom is established everywhere around the globe. When Jesus came to the earth, He said, "The kingdom of God is here." He came to inaugurate that kingdom. He came to be recognized as the one eternal king. And His kingship is seen even over creation. Verse 11, "Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it, let the field exult and everything in it. And then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord." Even creation is called to recognize the kingship of Jesus Christ, to recognize the glory and the expanse of God's kingdom. God's kingdom affects every part of our life. God's kingdom is expressed not only on Sunday. God's kingdom is expressed not even only in His church, but God's kingdom is a cosmic kingdom. It affects everything that we do, not only what we do this morning here, but tomorrow morning. As we get up for work, we go to work as those who labor in the kingdom of God. Kingdom work is not just for ministers and for missionaries, but all of us are citizens of that glorious kingdom, and Christ's kingship affects everything we do. It affects how we go to school tomorrow, children. We go to school as those who are a part of God's kingdom, and we learn about the glories of that kingdom. As we stay home, as we care for the matters at home, as we care for our young children, we do that as those who are under the kingship of Christ. His kingdom is that which affects everything that we do. Yours, O God, is the kingdom. The world does not belong to the devil, but Christ's kingdom expressed over all. And it is a kingdom that is here now. The kingdom is not something for the future, for later. We do not pray, yours will be the kingdom. But yours is the kingdom. Right now, Christ reigns as king, and we are called to recognize that. To recognize his kingship right now. In our homes, in our labors, in our education, in our recreation, in all that we do, recognizing we live under the kingship of Jesus Christ as part of that glorious, supreme kingdom of God. Let the nation say the Lord reigns. Oh, the kingdom is here now. We also know there is more to come. Yes, Christ came to inaugurate the kingdom, but there is more that will happen. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Even the psalm here looks forward to a future greatness in the kingdom. When Jesus will return once again to consummate that kingdom, to put down every force against him, any pretender to the throne. And he is seen as all in all, and that is our future. And so we praise God. We praise God for his kingdom that is here now, but that will come in its fullness when Christ comes again. We conclude the prayer with praise to God. For yours is the kingdom. And yours, O God, is the power. Our confession says, we pray this. This means that we have made all these petitions of you. Because as our all-powerful King, you are both willing and able to give us all that is good. As our all-powerful King, you are willing and you are able to give us all that is good. That's why we pray. Because we have a God who is powerful to answer our prayers. A God who doesn't simply have potential power. He might be able to do something. But a God who has actual power. Kids, maybe some of you have gone on a family vacation and you've driven toward Nevada and your folks have taken you to Hoover Dam. Hoover Dam holds back Lake Mead. And as long as the spillways are closed, that dam has potential power. It holds back the water, but it has potential power. When they open those spillways and the floodgates and the water starts flowing, now it's actual power, and it produces electricity enough for 7 different states. God doesn't merely have potential power that he might be able to act, but God has actual power by which he acts in the lives of his people. That's why we pray to him. Not simply a reservoir of power that might be able to help, but a God who is actively engaged in our lives. prayer for us is not some psychological crutch, but we pray all these things because we have a God who is all-powerful, a God who will answer and who will do so in the best way possible, for he has all the power. If we begin to wonder if God has enough power to answer our prayers, we have but to look to creation around us as a demonstration of God's power. Again, from verse 5, all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The Lord made the heavens and the earth. And God did that simply by speaking them into being. God said, let there be. And there was. God didn't need any pre-existent building blocks from which to make things. When our son Josh was young, he really liked to play with Legos. And Josh had lots and lots of Legos. He would build all these Lego things. But he built the things out of the Lego blocks. God didn't have any cosmic Legos laying around by which he built heavens and earth. God simply spoke, and it came to be. That's power. When we begin to wonder if God is powerful enough to hear our prayers, to answer our prayers, simply look out the window to creation around you. And then, when we see the might of creation, when there are tornadoes, when there are hurricanes, when there are earthquakes, and we sense that power pales in comparison to the power of our God. Oh, Lord God, yours is the power. That's why we pray to you. For you are the God who is powerful enough to create all that we see around us. You are the God not only powerful in creation, you are the God powerful in re-creation. We know that God created man in his own image, in his likeness. But man, because of his own willful, sinful choice, chose to leave that pristine condition. And Adam and Eve, in their sin, cast themselves and all of their generations to follow into sin. Even that could not thwart God's purposes. God's purpose to have a people for his very own. God has power. Power to rescue those fallen in sin. Power to take dead hearts and bring them back to life. Power to take hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh. That's the power of Jesus Christ. And that power God still exercises today. That power he still demonstrates today as he calls you. If you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, trust in him today and know the power of God to forgive all your sins, to wash away all your iniquities, to give you a new heart, a new life, a desire now to live for God. That's power. And that's why we praise him. Yours, O God, is the power. And yours, O God, is the glory. Verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory. Do his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Ascribe to God glory. When we think of glory, we often think of things that are light and bright, God's glory. That's how we see God reveal himself on Mount Sinai, God revealing himself in the lightning up on the top of the mountain. In the tabernacle, when the tabernacle is completed, the glory of God comes and descends upon the tabernacle. We see God's glory in the temple. We sang earlier Psalm 29, a psalm of God's glory around us. And so it's fitting in this picture of light, this picture of glory, this picture of radiance, that when Jesus comes, he is called the light of the world. We have seen his glory, the light incarnate. God has all the glory. Ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name, bring an offering, come into his courts, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, tremble before him all the earth. The connection between God's glory and bringing him the worship that he is due, the worship that is owed to him because he is that glorious God. We come into his courts. We come into his presence. We see the glory of God in our midst as God himself is here in the midst of his people. God himself has called us that we might worship him. Now we know that we can bring glory to God in all kinds of ways and in all kinds of places. But when God calls us together on his day, this is where he expects us to be. This is where he expects us to bring him the glory and the honor and the praise that he so deserves. We praise God, for he is glorious. Next Sunday, we're going to gather together once again to bring God praise for his glory. And in that service, we will have the great privilege of coming to the table of the Lord, a reminder of the work of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And to come to that table rightly, to come to that table ready, we must prepare our hearts, recognizing who God is, recognizing our fallenness, our sinfulness, but recognizing who God is and what he has done. That he, in his Son, Jesus Christ, to bring glory to himself, has chosen a people and redeemed those people, and then calls those people to come together to worship him and invites us to come to his table to be refreshed. Oh, we bring God praise. Praise for who he is, praise for what he has done. We conclude our prayer, for yours, O God, is the kingdom, and yours, O God, is the power, and yours, O God, is the glory, not only now, but forever. And we say, it is true, it is sure, it is absolute. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, as we reflect upon your glory and upon your majesty, it is a joy for us. It's a joy for us, oh God, to know that you are the King of the kingdom in your Son, Jesus Christ, a kingdom that affects everything that we do, a kingdom that goes around the world. You, O God, are all-powerful, so we can pray to you and bring you all our requests, for you are willing and you are able to answer them. And as you display yourself, O God, you are great and glorious and majestic. And so this morning, we join our hearts, we join our voices in praise to you, praising you for who you are and thanking you for calling us to be your children. O Lord God, accept our praise for Jesus' sake. Amen.